Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you turn to the front of the bulletin, you will see that today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. It is also Mother's Day and Blanket Sunday. And I'd like to add to that list, and we're going to get a little bit international on this, but in the UK, in the church, today is known as Vocation Sunday. And it's also known throughout the church as Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, I want to talk about those two in relation to today's lessons and to our vocation as Christians. In the UCC, we've got a date on the calendar called Seminarian Sunday, in which we lift up the people who are training to become ordained ministers of the church. In the Church of England, things are done differently, and they've got this Vocation Sunday. Who has a vocation? Well, hopefully, ministers do. But you people do too. All of us have vocations. All of us are contributing to building the kingdom. And whether we sing, or whether we work our church finances, or we take care of the building, or we make dinners, or extend hospitality or friendship, we are engaged in vocational work. I'm going to put John Gilliatt on the spot here. And I remember early last week, I came in to drop off my bag and my computer, and John was here, and he was working on the wheelchair. He was putting new wheels on the front. And that wheelchair has made a difference in the life of this congregation. And people have used it. And it was broken recently and put out of action. And John got the wheels and he attached them. So thank you, John. That was a good way of living into one's vocation. And I think you can all think of times you have done something like that. Or you've seen someone else here do something. You have exercised your vocation. Now, today's readings can be a little bit strange and off-putting to us. And we can look at the lesson from John, and we hear all this talk about shepherds and the gates, and then Jesus makes his bold claim that he and the Father are one. But when you think about that, and you can think about the Psalm 23 that we read at the beginning of the worship service. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with that. It is read at funerals and other times in our lives. And it tells us something about being cared for and about being embraced. And the Good Shepherd leads us not only to the pastures, but also helps us navigate the dark ways. Now, I don't know who here might have any experience on a farm. I don't. But I have encountered sheep a couple of times. And they are sometimes ordinary creatures. I've seen a sheep being sheared. And they can start a little bit, but then they get down and they let their wool be taken off. But they see themselves as part of a group, a family. And they learn to hear their shepherd's voice. And Jesus would have known about this, not because he's the Son of God, but because of where he grew up. And the people hearing these stories and these lessons would have been able to appreciate that too. The shepherd was really important. And throughout our lives, we have a tendency to look for shepherds ourselves. And we can look for them in the church, we can look for them in politics, we can look for them in entertainment or sports. And frankly, the shepherds we often look to are not really good at their jobs. I can think of one individual who claimed to be the good shepherd for our country for 4 years, and a good shepherd does not steal. A good shepherd does not lie. A good shepherd does not put himself or herself first. A good shepherd is looking out for the sheep's interests. And we can think of Jesus and how he laid down his life for us. Jesus was a good shepherd. But Scripture also points us to another good shepherd, and that is God. And there can be times in our life when we feel alone, when we're dealing with difficult situations, when we're trying to find the right answer or the right course of action. And we may feel alone, but we're not. God is with us. And there may be temptations that come our way, and we may want to do the wrong thing. But John tells us, I'm looking for the verse, I'm sorry I didn't notice this before, but no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, some of you may know I do a sermon workshop every week, and it's led by a couple of priests in the Church of England in London, and thanks to the wonders of Zoom, I can participate online or watch it afterwards. And this week's seminar was put on by Reverend Sam Wells at St. Martin in the Fields in London. And there was a guest co-host, a woman named Ellen Eames, who's also a priest in the Church of England. And Sam said that he looked in the Greek text to see if the words might be cast differently, if there was something else to replace the word snatch, because he wasn't sure that that would have been the right word. But it was. He couldn't find anything better in terms of the translation. And there's something about the playground in that. You can think about children in the playground, and some kids are as good as playing with others as we hope they would be. And they might snatch a ball away. They might snatch the swing away. And that kind of childlike, childish behavior is something that Jesus wants us to avoid. And frankly, it's something our mothers wanted us to avoid. So your mother, and this wasn't my plan to say this, but it's true, is a good shepherd. Your mother led you to the green pastures and also helped you get through the dark ways. Now, I was, as you can see, I called this sermon Men and Women at Work, but as I reflected more on the message and your vocations, I thought a different title might, and this was after we put this bulletin to bed, I began to think that maybe a different sermon title would be appropriate and would be Ordinary and Extraordinary. We've all got ordinary work to do. We've all got to pay the bills. We've all got to make sure the lights are on. We've all got to make sure things that are broken are repaired. And we do those things. But your efforts are extraordinary. And I'd like you to think about that lesson from Acts and the story about Tabitha, otherwise known as Dorcas. And if you think about it, Acts is supposed to be what? It's a story of the early church. And we often think about stories like that celebrating the giants, the people who made things happen. And we can think about Peter and Paul. But Dorcas was a giant of the early church. Dorcas sewed clothing. And you remember the call to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked? That's from Scripture. Dorcas was helping to build God's kingdom. And it's interesting because Peter and the other disciples aren't wandering around bringing everybody back to life after they die. Why was she singled out? I can't tell you that. I can tell you nothing about the mechanics of her resurrection. I can tell you nothing about the thought she might have entertained when she rose from the dead. But she clearly meant something to the early church. And the service she provided and the faith she showed was something that the early church folk felt a need to preserve and to share with one another. This is where I could come up with a dopey slogan by saying, be like Dorcas. Tabitha, if you prefer. But Dorcas does the kinds of things that the church needs to do. Dorcas or Tabitha provided the love in action that our church is called to provide. And I look forward to the days we can resume doing the community dinner, because that is a way of helping to build the kingdom. In June, we're going to be hosting the Bike and Build Riders, and we haven't been able to do that in a couple of years. That is the church showing the love of God. I'm going to touch a third rail, and I'm going to mention the big blow-up around Roe versus Wade. Now, we may all have our different opinions about abortion and whether it should be provided. But I think one of the ways the church has fallen down in this discussion is that it's been very good about waving a finger at people saying what you're doing is wrong. And instead, it needs to be providing compassion and love and support. So I know we could get into conversations and potentially yell at one another. And that's not being the church. We need to remember that the person next door is as much a child of God as we are. And that God is with them as much as they are with us. If we want to actually actively engage in our vocation, we will try to behave like that. Think about it. Dorcas, we don't know what she did next. We don't know how long she lived. But clearly, her passing on and then her coming back had an impact. My hope is that each of us can have some kind of impact in our lives. And I'm sure we will. But the question that's before us is whether it is an impact that is good and holy and faithful. And my prayer is that we will all be moved to live that way, to live as Dorcas did, to help our neighbors, and when we pass on, to come back in such a way, at least our reputations or our memories will be an inspiration to others. Well, I hope you'll join me in a spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the call to the church to witness to your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.